Once again, I express a sincere appreciation to each one in our radio audience this morning for having tuned in to the Seeds of Truth, brought to you by the Rivermont Church of Christ. Your speaker is Robert Swain. It's good to have you enter into a study of God's Word with me. I continue to point out that our only desire on this radio program is to assist each listener to a better understanding of God's eternal truths. I feel that most individuals feel quite secure regarding their spiritual condition. They think they are bound for heaven in that world to come, and they've convinced themselves that they're doing the very best they can do. Surely the ancient proverb is right, which says, "Every way of man is right in his own eyes," Proverbs 21 and 2. And yet, it's my sincere conviction that many are dwelling in a fool's paradise. What do I mean by fool's paradise? Well, Webster defines fool's paradise as any state of foolish pleasure or imaginary security. Is it possible for one who claims to be a Christian to find himself or herself in such a state? Let's read from Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. Paul says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth unto his own flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth unto the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap eternal life." In the first part of this chapter, Paul points out the responsibility of the faithful member toward the weaker brother. He then gives the obligation of each one toward himself or herself. And then in verse 6, the obligation of the weaker brother or sister toward the teacher. Then in verses 7 and 8, he warns of the danger of falling in two and dwelling in a fool's paradise. Let's notice what's involved in this. First, Paul gives us a warning to heed. He says, "Do not be deceived," verse 7. Obviously, there is a danger of being deceived for Paul to have so warned. To deceive is to leave a false impression. In W.E. Vine's Greek Expository Dictionary, he defines deceived as primarily signifies to ensnare, hence to corrupt, especially by mingling truths of the Word of God and false doctrines or motives. Deception can come from two sources. First, it might come from other men or women. And second, it might come from self. One might be deceived because someone else brings us a false doctrine, or one might be deceived by our own false studies. There are many scriptures which warn against being deceived by other men. I'd like to notice a few of them this morning. Paul says, "Let no man beguile you," Colossians 2 and 18. In 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10, it reads, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God." Can one be deceived? The inspired apostle seems to think so. In 2 Thessalonians 2 and 3, he says, "Let no man beguile you in any wise." The apostle John states, "My little children, let no man lead you astray," 1 John 3 and 7. Ephesians 5 and 6, "Let no man deceive you with empty words." Now these warnings, as well as many others found in God's book, surely must impress upon us the danger of being deceived by others, or being led astray by the teachings of others. And this may be done even by men with good intentions. A person does not have to be a liar or a rascal or mean-spirited to lead others in false doctrines. Paul warned that there would be those who would fashion themselves as apostles of Christ, yet they are false teachers. That's found in 2 Corinthians 11:13. Jesus himself warned, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves," Matthew 7:15. So how careful each one of us must be to accept only what's found in the book of God. Study for yourself.